We're all futurists now. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. Futurism reveals as much about our past as it does predict what's yet to happen, according to Lawrence R. Samuel in his new book, Future, A Recent History. Samuel looks at five distinct eras of American futurism and writes that studying each vision can teach us about who we were. In the following interview, I talk with Samuel about the most recent era, from 1995 to the present. Samuel says most people have become futurists of sort, a necessary thing in a time of rapid technological change.
I think we're just all so invested in the future at different levels, particularly economically, that a lot of us now have money in the stock market and have to think about, is my money safe in terms of where the stock market will be going? I think we have to think about our careers. You know, is what we're doing going to be around, you know, in 10 or 20 years? I think just more in the past, if you look at the long sweep with traditional societies, things changed a lot less.
Especially with information technology, it feels like the future gets here faster than our ability to imagine it ahead of time. You know, whether you're talking about the internet or specific devices like the iPhone. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's why futurism is at a low point right now, that there isn't really much interested in futurism as a sort of dedicated field. You know, if you go and look at universities, I think you can only find a couple of universities that are even teaching futurism. It just has much less of a voice because we're doing it. And, yeah, it just seems like the stuff that we anticipated over the last 100 years is just here now, whether it be in biotech or in communications. And so it just becomes less intriguing. You know, it's the where's my jetpack? You know, well, we've got a lot of the stuff right now, so it's hard to think about a different kind of future than what we predicted before.
Yeah, you talk about how futurism was bolder in different eras, and there were more sort of interesting sweeping predictions, and now you don't really see that happening. Is the only reason that the future seems to be getting here faster than we can imagine it, or are there other reasons for this retrenchment?
It was much more wide open in the 20th century. We just didn't have a lot of things that we ultimately got. And so the 20th century was the realization of so much of that futurism, whether it be, you know, the airplane or the cell phone or the internet or all the incredible inventions we had. And so now it's almost entirely about technology, digital technology, and biotech. So our future has also gotten sort of concentrated or more narrow.
But you talk about how a kind of conservatism is plaguing the futurism. You use as an example two editions of Popular Mechanics magazine, one from 1950 that boldly predicted things like online shopping and microwave ovens, and then an edition from 2000 in which the editors were sort of being cautious and only talking about incremental changes to technology that was already here. What's going on with this conservatism?
Yeah, I think it's a function of how it shifted from sort of a creative exercise. It was, you know, left up to the imagination. It was considered more of an art. And over time, particularly in the 50s with the Rand Corporation and some others, it became much more of a science, that we really did believe we could predict the future, which is not true. We can't. You never can. But those quantitative sort of orientations, whether it be modeling or polling, it made us more risk sensitive in terms of being wrong. We're just afraid to be wrong when it comes to the future, which I think is a shame, because I think We should go out on a limb, and that's the way great discoveries and great ideas come from.
Lawrence R. Samuel, author of Future, A Recent History. More of our conversation on the next Future Tense. I'm John Gordon.